Hello, welcome to another interview on GivingCirclesHelp.com, where we're compiling information and interviews from people around the country who are running their own giving circles. And our purpose is to learn from each other and continuously improve our ability to make an impact with our giving. Today, I'm speaking with Shelley Terranova, who is a co-chair of the Weinberg Fellows Giving Circle. Welcome, Shelley. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Could you start by giving us an overview of your giving circle?
Sure. The Weinberg Fellows is a giving circle that comes out of the Weinberg Fellows program, which is hosted by the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation located in Baltimore. The giving circle was established in 2003, and it was a way for the Weinberg Fellows to give back to the foundation and honor their experience and also to sort of pay it forward in the community by making small grants. The Weinberg Fellows Program is a leadership program for nonprofit sector executive directors or senior staff members. This is a way of, after completing the year-long leadership development program, you become a Weinberg Fellow and then you're eligible to join the Giving Circle with an annual donation to the circle.
So your membership is made up only of Weinberg graduates, who are you call as Weinberg Fellows.
Right. So to the program, every year there's a new class of fellows, and they go through three or four different retreats throughout a full calendar year, and they develop their nonprofit leadership skills. Since the program was founded in 2002, and the most recently completed class 2011, so the program's been in existence for about 9 years. And each year they graduate somewhere between 15 and 20 or so fellows. So to this point, there are close to 200 fellows that are living in Baltimore and hopefully still contributing to the nonprofit sector. And of those fellows, all of them are eligible to join the Giving Circle by making an annual contribution to the Giving Circle Fund.
Okay. And how do you find the members of the Weinberg Fellows participate? Does it, when they first graduate, is there a lot more participation than as time goes by?
Definitely. Each class has somewhere around the range of 15 to 20 members. And there are certainly classes that have done a better job of keeping in touch with each other and continuing to connect and partner and grow. And I think the more engaged the class is, the stronger the participation in the Giving Circle is, because the Giving Circle is one way of staying in touch. So certainly what we find is typically the graduating class has 100% participation. There's a fun and cute thing that every class does at their graduation at the end of the year when they're feeling very connected, which is to generally present the Giving Circle with one full check, which represents 100% participation from their class. And in the past, they've done things like tried to mimic the year that they graduated, such as a gift of 2007 was my class year. I was a fellow in 2007, and our class presented a check of $2,007 to the Giving Circle. So typically, we get 100% participation from the current graduating class. And then for prior years, it can be anywhere from 15% up to 100%. We've seen a few above 50%, and then others hover around that median more.
Mm-hmm. Are you communicating with all of the graduates about the Giving Circle? How does your communication about the opportunities to donate through the Giving Circle? What do you guys do?
Right. So we have a steering committee, and the steering committee contains one person from each year. So that way there's good representation across all of the classes. And an expectation of a steering committee person is that you are your class liaison and you are in charge of making sure the messages get out to your classmates. So while the co-chair, and I have handled a bit of this, is doing the group communications, we have a constant contact account, and every year we go through our call for gifts, and it happens once a year. It happens right around the time that the current class is wrapping up and getting ready to graduate. So around that time, I'll put out a series of emails over the course of 4 to 6 weeks saying, this is the time, please give back, please think about what an impact this program has made on you and help pay it forward. And I do a series of these emails, but these emails are going out en masse to, you know, close to 200 people, and I don't have a personal connection to many of those people, so it goes down to the class liaisons to sort of further that message more personally, to make phone calls, to send personal emails, to say, hey, why don't we get the class together for lunch today? I hope that you'll consider giving again this year. So it starts off with this general, and then it gets pushed down to the class liaisons to get the message closer. And my we only have one person from each year represented, with the exception of my class year. We're lucky to have two because we are the co-chairs. So my co-chair and I have done a pretty good job of staying in touch, I think, because we generally want to see our clients on a regular basis, and that always comes first. But because we stayed in touch socially and professionally, we have great participation in mm-hmm. the Giving Circle for our year. And I think that there are some other classes like that. The more engaged they are with their steering committee class liaison, who is being the cheerleader and the social director of their class, end up having better participation in the circle.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. This is such an interesting idea about, you know, having the graduates of the program be part of the Giving Circle, and mm-hmm. how you've incorporated one member from each year to be on the steering committee. Mm-hmm. So I have a couple of questions for you about that. One is, are your students who are graduating in each year, are they keeping in touch through other programs, through Weinberg Fellows, or is it really only getting communication about the Giving Circle, or is there other stuff going on?
There are other ways that they're communicated with. They are communicated from the Weinberg Foundation, who most of the efforts, of course, are going to be on the current class, but they do once a year, they have an annual conference, which they invite all Weinberg Fellows to, and throughout the year, they might have other opportunities here and there. So they're sending out mass communications to all graduates from each year. One thing that's been touching, I think, is to stay in contact for people, of course. But once a year, they do an annual awards. And the Giving Circle has worked closely with the foundation to make its grants the same time that the foundation hosts its annual conference for all fellows, so that you get to present the grant in front of all of the fellows that have chosen to participate, and whether they're Giving Circle members or not, it's in front of all of the attendees from all classes that have chosen to come to this annual conference. And one way that the foundation also, I think, encourages participation in the annual conference is they also have grants. They get out, their grants are larger than ours, but they do a similar process where they do a call for applications. The difference with theirs and ours is that they make grants to Weinberg Fellows and their organizations. So what they challenge you to do is to present a proposal that shows how you have leveraged what you learned in the program along with their partnerships and made an impact in your community. So perhaps you learned how to do logic models for all of your programs when you were a fellow, and then you instituted logic models for all of your program's outcomes, and you were able to do X, Y, and Z now that you had them in place, and it's a wonderful thing, and you'd like a grant for it. The foundation might make a grant to you at the annual conference. It's a very closed process. As a Weinberg Fellow Giving Circle chair, I serve on the advisory committee for the foundation, so I'm a part of that process as well. But our process is almost the opposite, in that we don't give grants to fellows organizations, because our fear would be that everybody would just nominate themselves. So we say we want to pay it forward. So find another nonprofit you would like to introduce to this program. It's a good chance for them to come and interact with the foundation staff and the other fellows if they are then to come to the award ceremony. And typically what we have found is that these are sort of pet affiliations, or because our current fellows are on the boards of directors for these other nonprofits, and they think they're doing great work, and they want to nominate them. But there are a few rules of nominating, and one is that you cannot have a fellow on staff, because, again, the same thing. You know, you would just, there would be too much self-interest involved. So it's a way of sort of paying it forward to the community outside of your scope of work.
Mm-hmm. So you can't have a Weinberg Fellow on staff, but they could be on the board.
Yes.
And then, so you mentioned that, you know, their process is very closed, but yours is very open, and one difference is who you allow for a grant. What other differences are there?
So the main difference is, we actually talked about, do we want to tweak this a bit? When we submit, the rules of becoming a Giving Circle member, you need to be a Weinberg Fellow, mm-hmm. and you need to give a donation of $100 or more annually. And if you meet this requirements, you're a fellow and you gave $100, you're eligible to nominate anyone for an award, and you're also eligible to vote on the nomination. So that ticket sort of buys you both nominating and voting rights. So the thing that happens that I struggle with a bit is that all eligible people get to see who is nominated. They know how many. So if you five nominations come in and everyone that has the voting rights sees those nominations, you don't just find out who got a grant, you also find out who did not get a grant. And because it's a close group, the person that made the nomination might feel slighted that their nomination wasn't chosen, or if you nominated four out of five, then the one might feel slighted. So it's a little bit complicated, I think, from that perspective. That's the way that it's always been, is that if you were a member, you got to see all the nominations and vote on them. But one thing that we've considered changing, and I think this is mostly me, so we'll see, where it goes, but one of the things that we've considered changing is having anyone can nominate, but that the decision-making process, the only people that see the nominations and the only people that vote on the nominations are the steering committee, and that way you've got one person from each class and there's no bias. The only thing would be that then I think you would have to recuse yourself if you nominated an organization, so that's the only drawback, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's not as inclusive, which I think is some.
Okay. So you're thinking of making your process a little more closed.
Yes.
Okay.
And more similar to the way the foundation does their annual grants. We have no idea if they receive proposals or 35.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you don't really know how tight of the consideration was.
Okay. I also want to ask you about the structure you have in place for replacing your steering committee, because I talk to a lot of giving circles, and a lot really struggle with the leadership transition,
mm-hmm.
that people who start the giving circle will often get stuck in leading it for a long period of time, and not that they don't like it, because they love doing what they do, but you know, being part of the leadership can be taxing, and people can
right.
burn out. So you have this really mm-hmm. interesting structure, and I was wondering if you could kind of share a little bit about how it works.
Well, we're a little bit informal, I would say. I mean, we have typed up sort of our, I wouldn't call them bylaws, but our fact sheet is what we call it, which talks about, you know, some of the requirements, how well we are fairly and as a group. I'm in the lucky position of being able to have joined as leadership of the circle after all the fund requirements were met and I got to start handing out checks, which is really fun. I know that the first person who, it was her idea, the genesis came from her, and she was a fellow and she wanted to form it and enlisted some help and created this whole concept. You know, she definitely had to spend a lot of years building the brand of it, promoting it, trying to encourage people to join it and then renew their gift every year and build up the fund, because we are holding our fund at our local community foundation and we needed to reach a minimum before we could start making grants. So she had the hard job, and I know that it was definitely by the end of her tenure, she had sort of said, I really need to pass the torch. Do we have any takers? And I was fairly new. She was a 2003 fellow. I was a 2007. So I was a little, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at mm-hmm. that point and had just graduated and had lots of warm, fuzzy feelings. So I was very eager to take that over. It is a lot of work, and we have seen other committee members who sort of are MIA. They just kind of fall off the map. And because of the tight-knit community of Baltimore and within the nonprofit sector, we haven't had a rigorous application process where, you know, we interview somebody or decide whether or not they can join. I mean, we pretty much say, we have a gap in 2003. Let's look at the class list. Who knows somebody who's still pretty engaged in the program? Let's reach out to that person and see if they're interested.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure every year that we have every position filled for each class year. But we haven't had a terrible amount of turnover, but when we have had that opportunity, somebody has just reached out to somebody that they know is still engaged in the nonprofit sector, still in touch with their classmates, and we think would be a good liaison to be able to have good communication with their classmates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So what is your biggest challenge as leadership and co-chair of this committee or this giving circle? What is your biggest challenge?
I would say the administration of it has been challenging. It's sort of, and that kind of goes back to one of the reasons, closing the process for some of that nomination and voting goes, because it's been very challenging to work with the administrators of the fellowship program as well as the administrators of the foundation and our group is Giving Circle, which is sort of three moving parts, to sort of align the calendar so that the giving year allows enough time to get to come in and be acknowledged and determine who has the right to nominate and who has the right to vote, vet the nominations, make sure they're eligible organizations to receive a grant, submit the request to the Community Foundation, and you know, try to get those folks that are being awarded to come to our annual conference. It's a lot of administrative work, you know, and by the nature of the program is we're all, you know, leaders in the nonprofit sector and you know, typically overextended as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that part has been challenging. I think that the participation, we have probably about 35% to 40% participation across the group, the alumni, which I think is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly because people move and you lose touch and we, you know, have some bad emails and things like that. I feel like our participation is pretty strong. And I think that we've, you know, tried to encourage people to give so that they can be part of the nomination and voting process as an incentive. But what we find is that even when they have that opportunity, they're not necessarily taking us up on it. So I think that they're really giving from a place of just wanting to give back, wanting to do right by their class and by the foundation for extending the support. So I think that has been, it hasn't been such a hard sell to get participation or to get gifts. We're actually, you know, I think that strengthens every year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's just the administration of the giving circle that's been a little bit challenging. Another thing that I wanted to mention in terms of incentivizing people to give is that we did one thing last year that was wildly successful, so we did it again this year, and people enjoyed it a lot, was, you know, a lot of executive directors would love to get one-on-one time with foundation program officers or directors.
Mm.
So we asked the Weinberg Foundation, and they are, as background, they're a huge foundation in Baltimore. They are very, very generous, and everyone knows of them, and every nonprofit wants support from them. So by being accepted in this fellows program, that does not guarantee that you're going to be getting funding from them. But there is an overlap in the folks that they choose in terms of the interest area, so it's not uncommon for the fellows to be receiving or looking to receive funding from the foundation.
Okay.
So one thing that we offered last year and this year that people loved was for all Giving Circle members, all those that had given their $100 or more by a certain deadline, were welcome to participate in a funder's afternoon. And we structured that as a one-hour panel discussion where all, I think there's five, of their program directors representing all the different areas where they make grants attended and sat at a panel and fielded questions from fellows that were general and useful, hopefully, for the whole room. And then we broke out and did a second hour of what we kind of jokingly called speed dating, where we had a program director at a round table. And so we had five or six of them going. And you were allowed to visit too over the course of the next hour. So you would get 20 minutes and then shift for 20 minutes. And then there was 20 minutes, I think, you know, that was split between the before, during, and after. So it gave you a chance to talk very specifically about your funding needs, whether you had a proposal you were It was just great to be able to get that one-on-one time to look your program director in the eye and get some really candid feedback.
Mm.
And that was something that people loved.
Oh, what a great idea. So you mentioned that you guys were taking a pause. Is that just related to wanting to change your grant process, or are there other reasons why you're...
Well, this Giving Circle is not necessarily taking a pause. The Weinberg Foundation is taking a pause.
Okay.
In terms of their next fellowship class. So they are just taking a year off. They've, you know, again, been running it since 2002, and they are sure to take 1 year off to sort of evaluate their own process and see what they might change or keep the same. They're not recruiting the next class. So the challenge for us as a Giving Circle is, do we continue as normal, or do we take a year off as well? And I think when you take a year off, you risk losing engagement.
Mm-hmm.
However, without having a current class graduating, that always represents a significant portion of what we're able to grant out. Our grants would be smaller, and we also wouldn't have the annual conference as it normally is, as far as we know. But the foundation is also, they're looking to keep people engaged as well. So some of this just remains to be seen, and we're going to continue to talk with them closely about how to handle the next year. But we're not exactly sure what the next year holds. But it will be just a little bit different as things are reworked a bit for the program as a whole.
Oh, interesting challenge. I'll be interested to hear how that goes for you.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you about your nomination form, because I took a look at it online, and I thought that it was very accessible. And I wanted to ask you about the nomination process and the voting process. When and just for the benefit of our listeners, I'm just going to just review. It just has a couple pages, and in fact, you ask, you know, complete up to 2 pages. So you're not looking for really long reviews. So you ask for a brief description, including their mission, programs, geographic area, population served, annual budget, and number of people served. And then the second question is, please share how this organization and its programs and services improve the quality of life for disadvantaged individuals in the greater Baltimore region. And then the third question is, what makes this organization and its programs and services special? And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your philosophy behind this nomination form and how you find it works for you.
Sure. As mainly executive directors that have submitted many, 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 many grants, we just could not ask for a lengthy grant. We just didn't want to do that to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
We understand the size of our grants. Now, starting off, our grants were very small. They were about $500. Now we're actually making grants that are $2,500, $5,000. So again, they're not large grants, but they're bigger than they used to be. But still, we understand how much time it takes to prepare a grant application. And sort of just to honor our community, we didn't want to put people through that arduous process for a grant that is not too large in size. You know, we wanted it to be equitable and proportional to the amount of the grant they were going to receive. And we think that if you can provide answers to those questions concisely and with enough heart, then that's what we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten great feedback that that folks really appreciate having a really straightforward, easy format to be able to submit in. And honestly, for the steering committee, they appreciate it too, because again, you know, it's easier to review when you've got many nominations coming in to be able to get really succinct 2 to 3 page summary, cover page and 2 pages of summary. So.
Mm-hmm. And so you're finding that your nominators, because of their experience, can do this well, and then because of your experience as a steering committee in this field, that you can also evaluate these nominations and feel like you're making good choices about where the grants are going?
I do, and also Baltimore is a pretty small town, and I think that most of these grantees are familiar.
Okay.
So these are not, a lot of the nominations coming in were, that place. I mean, they're not mysteries. And when they are, you know, steering committee members can certainly look for more information to fill out their understanding of it. Obviously, at the end of the day, are the people that vote turn in a vote, and the votes are tallied, and they're weighted, but they're looked at by the steering committee, and the steering committee makes the ultimate grant decisions. So we vet the nominees a little bit further. You know, we definitely look up their 990s and their, you know, their nonprofit status, and make sure that there's no fellow on staff and those things. So while the typical reviewer might read a couple pages and place their vote, the steering committee takes a deeper look.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely feel we've learned enough to be able to make an educated choice and to be able to have the discretion to follow the wishes of the voters without just, you know, following it to a T. I mean, we can make some discretionary choices about, well, you know, these votes were, you know, they got three moderate level votes, but these two really had more enthusiasm, and, you know, being able to kind of talk about that in that steering committee.
So on occasion, okay, your steering committee has made changes to the popular, not made changes to the popular vote, but chose
not
different.
Not the popular vote.
Yeah.
but more like used our discretion. So for instance, you know, last year we had overwhelming support for one nominee. So even though we could have gone, you know, first, second, third, we could have said, okay, this year we're going to do three grants, and we're going to do first, second, and third, and we're going to divide it up, 50% goes to the top, and then 25% goes to the bottom two. When we looked at the way the votes came in, even though it had been a 1, 2, 3, the one was so far and above the other two that we said, you know what, let's put all of our money behind the one. I mean, we really felt like we were respecting the feeling that came through
right.
in the voting process, whereas this past year, when we had one definite leader, and then we had a couple that were neck and neck. So mm-hmm. we went kind of back to that. And then we had two more that were not so enthusiastically supported. So we did more of that 50-25-25 model. So the steering committee really decides how many grants are we going to give and how are we going to break that down proportionately by being informed by the popular votes.
Oh, very interesting. Shelley, we
would never make a grant to something that wasn't supported.
Yeah,
you
right,
know?
Right.
But we interpret the support with a little bit more discretion.
Right. Like you said, keeping with the intention of what
right.
people wanted. We're approaching the end of our time here, so I wanted to ask you, was there anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to share now?
I can't think of anything. You know, the only thing would be that it's very fled, and there wasn't a whole lot of handholding received by any of the folks that came up with it. So we are doing what we think is respecting the programs and using all of our shared resources and expertise and knowledge, but we're not often on the other side of the table where we're making grants instead of asking for them. So I do think that having a place to learn a little bit more about how to lead a giving circle and what are the best practices and what should you make sure you're doing. You know, sometimes we've, you know, stumbled over areas that we probably could have done better had we been trained at it. But again, you know, we're used to asking and not giving, so some of the details were a little bit less sure.
Right.
And we've been, you know, fortunate enough that we're kind of under the radar and we're doing good work and nobody seems to mind our process. You know, we're pretty unpoliced in that respect. But, you know, having some professional development for volunteer giving circle leaders, you know, would be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people are just figuring out as we go along, which is why I started this project, because I'm like, I wanted to hear what other people are doing, because it's hard figuring out all on your own. So thank you so much for sharing your experience so that others can learn from you and what you're doing.
Of course. Happy to. And I look forward to hearing your when you pull it all together.
Thank you so much, Shelley.
You're welcome.